Good evening and welcome to Radio Alchemy, where we fuse the fringe with conventional wisdom. From secret societies to out-of-body experiences, black budget technology to this new world disorder, we want you to join us each week as we look at this thing called life with all the pieces. Well, darlings, isn't that amazing? Yes, we are actually here live. I mean, we're live in a number of senses. We're a voice that can be put on this lovely little digital specter called a CD comes and brings you information. Because you know what? Not everybody is going to be able to be up like you are in the wee hours of the night with Roy of Hollywood, because something is always happening on KPFK after midnight. They're not always able to get up and have their mind snapped on to be able to communicate with you. But then there are those that are just dying to be there, dying to be with you in the middle of the night, to sit there and while you're in your slumber and you're nice and comfortable and maybe you're driving the highways and byways of Southern California, they want to come in and absolutely make the hair stand up on your head and get your synaptic gaps flying. And that kind of gent, that kind of resident angel from the land of the solar, stellar satellite, cosmos, galactic, I don't know where he's come from, but he is actually here in studio. For 2 hours, we are going to have an amazing dialogue between you and the mind of the media ecologist himself, Bob Dobbs, in the studio here in KPFK. We're going to be opening up the phone lines at some point after we have an opportunity to just get the ball rolling, because there is so much to talk about, and you are the organism, this vibrational cell that is going to interact in all of our heads, because it's always really special when we have Bob. And the thing is that he is here live. He is at KPFK. This is a very rare, very amazing opportunity for all of us to share in the wonder, which is the craziness of wrangling the world of the four bodies and the mystery body. Bob Dobbs for 2 hours here on KPFK coming live. And so, you know what, without further ado, we are just going to jump into this. And I have to say, Bob, it is always such a pleasure. It is, you have always challenged me, no matter what. I think I have a grip on some of the bodies we're talking about. I think I have a grip on what I am and what I am doing. And then you come in and the script is flipped, and that is the way life is, because it is unfolding like an onion with so many layers, and that's what we are. We have so many layers, and you are helping decipher it, because we need to know where things really are at. And so, darling, without further ado, welcome to KPFK. So glad you're here.
Let me be Los Angeles.
Thank you. right. Hey.
What's new in Baltimore?
The newest board in all of Baltimore.
Hey, what's new in Baltimore? What's new in Baltimore?
Bob, what's new in Baltimore?
You, Evan.
Baltimore is here?
Let me be Frank Zappa. Another 30 seconds, please.
KPFK, 90.7 FM, Los Angeles. Bob, why did you pick this track?
I just love that idea of what's new in Baltimore. It's like, what's new in Dobbstown? What's going to happen with Bob? You know, what's happening here? What's new, Bob?
Well, that is you know, exactly what we always get from you whenever you fly by our transmitter here, either in a discarnate way or when you are actually here in the flesh. Now, this is by a special request of a lot of listeners out there, Bob, that you are live here at KPFK with the opportunity of creating a radio community, a community of consciousness out here to try and people come into this graduate school of media ecology and understanding where we are at this time, because it really seems, Bob, a lot of stuff is hitting the fan. A lot of stuff. And we had a very special broadcast with you before, right at the edge of this housing bubble taking effect, that talked a little bit about the Lewanta scandal and where this global financial crisis is, and that somehow somebody went and pulled the pin out of the balloon, and it is just demolishing everything in its path. And so where do we stand now? How do we approach how all of our resonating bodies are dealing with the environment at this time?
Well, you broadcast on January 3rd my discussion of the virtual economy, focusing on the Lewanta case. And if you want to get an update on that, you go to the archives of worldreports.org. Though what happened is it turned out Lewanta was fooling Chris Story, the editor of worldreports.org, and double-crossed him in November. I visited Chris Story in April. Chris Story keeps referring to it. I'm the person that he says showed up without an appointment. And that was on April 4th, the day that Marshall McLuhan's widow died this year. So he shortly after that revealed the problems that he had with Lewanta and how Lewanta botched the whole operation. So Chris Story's moved on past that, he's publishing new things on a broader level. The other thing we did a few weeks later, didn't we do the explanation of Jean Baudrillard's virtual economy?
Yes, exactly.
And we were going to try to get into that. I don't know, was it Baudrillard was first or second? I don't know which one was which, but they turned out to be complementary. You got to hear the January 3rd show and then whatever the next date was few weeks later. Those two go together. We're still in the same situation. It's always a post-information society. That means that in this vortex of hyper-communication among the constituents of the Android meme, it's not addressing you or me or anybody. Oh, maybe me a little bit. It seems to use me as a gold standard and reflects aspects of my life. The meaning of a post-information society is that there is no position or conclusion we get in the accumulation of data and pattern recognition that we can say, yes, now we know. Now we know what we did and what we're going to do and who's responsible and why responsibility has disappeared. That position will never happen. Can't happen. So therefore, it means that all patterns are obsolete and they disappear in the tactile interplay of the resonating meaning, which means you can't say that we arrived at a recession or that we arrived at a depression or that we returned to abundance. Those measurements cannot be established. So, and I had to do something.
Now, but we are still in a case where, is it then the disjoining between, we are within the virtual, correct?
Now, the virtual has been shrinking. Look at that. What is that? 2220. Look at that. Look at that number over there. 22202 over there on your right. What is that number?
That's the time.
So it's 220. Well, neat.
Yeah. 222111.
Woo. Okay, right when we get to this point of the shrinking of the chip landscape, the shrinking of this resonating node focused on the White House talking to itself. So another aspect of the post-information society is that the talking to itself of the Android meme has disappeared. There literally is nothing. So this is the singularity that Terence McKenna predicted for 2012, with the immunitizing of the eschaton that Robert Anton Wilson talked about. The interesting thing is it's happening now, since the summer of 2007, so that the Mayan calendar kind of thought it'd be 2012, December 21st, Frank Zappa's birthday, and it looks like it's kind of there, but that's visual space. That's calibration by literacy. Early iconographic literacy in the Mayans case. And so if we're 4 years off right now, that's pretty close. That's close enough. So the breakthrough is happening right now. And of course, it's reflected in what I'm doing because I reconstituted the Secret Council 10, the old solar government. I mean, 911 was an attempt by the fraudulent fake Kmart level of solar government. They attempted to retrieve the solar government. It couldn't be done until now. So we've established a balanced economy throughout the world on the virtual committee level, and it gradually will ripple through to, unfortunately, not the United States or Great Britain. They have a longer time to spend in the cell. Because of, you know, chickens have come home to roost, you know, that kind of situation, right? But for the rest of the world, it's turning around. And I'm helping make that happen.
Now, when you were talking about the fake solar government, who are they?
Well, that was the... You see, I disbanded the Secret Council 10 and solar government in 1990. And my main partners were Romanov, who controlled Gorbachev. That's not the Romanov dynasty. He was the controller, historical controller of Asia through the Chinese elders. And then you had Europe, which was Prince Turnin-Taxis' dynasty. That's discussed in Thomas Pynchon's Crying of Lot 49. Then you had the Rockefeller dynasty, J.P. Morgan dynasty, the newer oligarchy. So you had those three, and then you had a strange confluence in the city of London, represented by the monarchy. Those four factors would be subdivided into what people think of the Freemasons, the Jesuits, the Nazis, the Bolsheviks, and the Mossad. That interfaced committee on the bureaucratic political intelligence level was superseded by the Android meme by 1977. It ran amok till 90, and then you had the afterimage of that, which was the Internet, and then the Internet disappeared in 2000, and then we've had a Paleolithic retrieval. So the Paleolithic attempt of the afterimage of the Jesuits, Bolsheviks, Nazis, Mossad, and Freemasons was reconstituted in 2000, 2001, into 2002 as an attempt to establish the old world order. And that was displaced by 2006. It ran its course, and we had nothing except for what my team, our newly wealthy confluence of factors that left us standing with the gold and the credit and the trillionaires kind of weak. That's where we are today.
Do you mean that there are weak trillionaires, did you say?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, my gang is quadrillionaires.
Okay.
And that means nothing in a tactile economy.
Right.
The point, we are all so wealthy with the stimulation of our brains and our four bodies that's happening now. Most people focus on one or the other, the chemical body, the chip body, TV body, the astral body. But the interplay of all four is the utopia we're in terms of experience we have. We're providing some content for that right now, as a million other stations and media outlets and blogospheres and Chinese bureaucratic memos are communicating in and out. You see, I'm more of a paramedia ecologist.
Right.
Para means beside, above, below, beyond, and inside. It's all around. Since media as categories, archetypalized by Marshall McLuhan's Understanding Media book, have disappeared as separate situations, as outlined later by Jean Baudrillard in his essays on simulations and simulacra, the ecstasy of communication, other books, you cannot define the difference between what we used to call separate media environments. So we've cloned ESP. Then we created a way to disconnect from the ESP, which was the digital matrix provided to us in the 90s. You see, they talked about everybody being connected. This was the Wired magazine ideology. Everybody's connected. No, we were connected under TV satellite conditions, but the digital replay of that, the shrinking of that, led to disconnection.
Right.
Everybody in a little matrix tube. Mm. But not the tube as presented in Matrix 1, the movie. It's the fact that we are bigger than the media now, each one of us. We can Rumpelstiltskin-like remain nameless. Unless you name me, you can't figure out and take away my power. So we're all like that. The we is, a billion, doesn't matter, 2 million, 600 billion, 3 trillion. These numbers mean nothing once we've arrived at that, what Teilhard de Chardin called, 100 years ago, the biological event of electricity.
Right. So does this fake Council of Ten, do they know what they're dealing with the effects of media?
No. They did. They tried to retrieve the Paleolithic sense of might is right, or the fist is stronger, using the afterimage of the solar government. And so that's why at 9-1-1, the surveillance around the Pentagon and the Twin Towers was usurped and penetrated by the cell phone operation. And then the buildings were so humiliated because the collective cloned ESP observed it, meditated on it for 45 minutes or whatever, and then projected hate at it. And the buildings collapsed, committed suicide.
And that hatred as a buildup, was that within the United States? Or are you saying that was an externalized?
Oh, externalized hate. The icon, Baudrillard wrote about this in the 70s. He wrote a tremendous essay on the Twin Towers. And so he's the one who figured out after 9-1-1 happened that the buildings, he's the expert on the effect of the image inside the internet closed and voluntary ESP, he figured out that they were humiliated by being sucker punched by some little Rumpelstiltskin, known as the cell phone.
So you're saying
it killed itself in humiliation. Baudrillard said that.
And so you're okay. Very good.
I agree with him.
Right, right. But for people to understand matter a building and matter in this virtual scape, what does the Twin Towers represent, like on your chart? Where is that in your quadrant,
that's
and how
the,
is it?
The McLuhan quadrant, the 2-2, the 22. You know, I was on the Twin Tower with the television antenna for the New York Boroughs on July 4th, 1976, during the bicentennial. And I was looking at the tall ships come up the Hudson and East Rivers, and they were broadcasting over and inside the top floor we were looking from, the observation deck. And they had Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, people talking about what's going to happen in the next 100 years. And then I suddenly heard Marshall McLuhan's voice, and they asked him what he projected, and he said, one word, apocalypse. One word, apocalypse. And I heard that, and I was McLuhan's archivist, and I was the only one who noted it, probably, and then 25 years later, it manifested. Because apocalypse means no secrets, it means transparency, and that's what the tower suffered when everybody could observe it on the internet or CNN, however medium they took it in. This has never happened before. Now, you bring in, how does matter relate to the electric environment? Well, Walter Bowert, the creator of the meme for Operation Mind Control, the book came out, Operation Mind Control, early 78. He passed away on December 18th. There was suitable write-ups about his effect on the counterculture in the New York Times, LA Times, and everywhere else. I'm now in contact with him. A friend seems to be able to pick up Walter. Walter wants to continue his work. And he was telling me yesterday, I had a private session with him, with the person that can receive Walter's words. And he said that my discussion of the four bodies and the interplay of the chip body and TV body with the astral body is accurate, right on. He says in about 100 years, this will be recognized as a major thought form breakthrough on the scale of Freud and Darwin. Now, I'm not talking about this like some guy's fooling me. I don't necessarily believe in this. I'm just reporting what the astral plane via Walter said. And the important thing is the phrase electric signatures. Electric signatures is what happens when maybe your mother dies and a bird shows up the next day and it hops around in your living room and looks at you. You've had those kind of experiences. Everybody gets some natural phenomenon in relation to the grief or mourning or celebration of a loved one passing on. Walter explained that those were electric signatures. Now think of nature, including the subatomic electrical vibrations, and then what you see, the bird. So the electrical signatures can reflect astral impressions. So that interplay of the electrical, the fleshly, and the non-fleshly is what I'm working on. And so we talk about Gaia and the fact that nature is alive and the earth is talking back to us. Well, what is the earth made up of? It's made up of stone and metal. Those things make up the buildings. Why wouldn't we think the buildings were part of Gaia? All right? And
right.
They're communicating, responding to us, penetrating it with our electric digital extensions. So let's leave it at that. And unless you have some other issues that we talked about the other day in preparing for this, but I'm ready to take calls just on what we said if people want to get into it. I want to take as many calls as possible.
Yeah, definitely.
If they have no calls, you bring up your themes.
Yeah. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Bob Dobbs is here live in the studio. It's been a long time, I think, that you've been here live. I don't know. Have you ever done one live before?
Yes, we did. We did a GLOW show in 2004.
Were you here, though?
Yes,
you here?
I was sitting over there. Yes.
Yeah.
I showed up on this is my 20th anniversary of being on KPFK. David Porter of the old show Genesis of the Music interviewed me in October 88.
Yeah.
It was in that interview where I predicted that the Berlin Wall would go down and that Germany would be reunited. That sounded pretty nutty, but within a year, it happened on November 9th, right?
Right.
1989.
Right.
And Dave Porter just happened to be going through his archives, and he heard this interview totally forgotten, and he broadcasted on November 25th, 1989, saying, this is one person who predicted. Can you believe that? Everybody else is saying it was a big surprise. Well, Bob Dobbs nailed it a year ago.
Yeah.
And so here it is, almost October 2008, and I'm here in person. So this is my second time in person in the studios.
Yeah, well,
4 years ago and now.
Well, if you guys remember the show that we did with GLOW, That was, whenever I'm out there and people are like, so what kind of show do you do? I'm going, you wouldn't believe the kind of show. You know, we have had on Marsh McLuhan and James Joyce and Frank Zappa, Discarnate, talking. That's the kind of stuff that we're able to do because we have free speech radio here that allows us to bring in such maestros as Bob. And because it's like, you know what, this stuff is something that maybe it's hard to grasp. But you know what, you have a chance now to go straight to the mind itself and ask him anything. Thing, darlings. 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. We'll start lining up your calls and continuing our discussions here on KPFK, coming up on a fund drive. Please help us. We need your bodies. We need your Federal Reserve notes. We will laundry them and do good things with them if you give them to us. So 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. You got a question for Bob? Well, you know what to do. All right. Radio Alchemy.
Eclipsing conventional wisdom. All alchemists converge at www.radioalchemy.com for streaming audio and more.
So we are here live at KPFK with Bob Dobbs. We have some folks calling in, and we want to get right to you all because this is a very special occasion here. Lots of things are happening in the world. Lots of things are happening with Bob. I don't know how I'm going to get into that. There is a renaissance going on above our heads, within us, and just all around us. And I want you guys to be a part of the self-discovery of your bodies, of the extensions of media, how it affects you, and why we can't seem to have sustained release, why we can't seem to be able to turn this ship around. Maybe this is something that Bob can help us understand. And so let's go ahead and get one of our first callers on while we get ready to just have a lot of fun tonight, you guys, live here at KPFK. Okay, caller one, you are on. Welcome to KPFK. Caller one, you're on with Bob.
Hey, where'd you get this guy from, man? Because he sounds like he's crazy.
Well, you know what? You know what? It's like, the thing is that this kind of talk and this kind of insight matches the environment we're in. Do you think there's any sanity in the world? You tell me where it's at.
I don't know, but this guy, yeah, he's got $250 billion, and he has ESP. I'm not following what the hell's going on.
And on top of that, I'm a black woman.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so you were looking for a bit of definition, a bit of familiarity.
Yeah, I just don't even understand what you're saying. I don't even think.
Well, why should you understand what I'm saying? I'm coming in from a place you're not getting too much access to. Not your problem, you know. I'm making an effort to show up and communicate what's going on at headquarters. Okay.
You're not even explaining what you're talking about. What are you coming here for if you're not going to explain what you're talking about?
I did.
Well, okay, caller, you know what, darling? I hear in your voice a certain amount of frustration, but this is how learning does not happen, is when we just get really pissed off because we don't understand immediately.
Yeah.
And so the idea is just to relax. And I know whenever, you know, I've had him on for ages now. And so you'd have to go back and listen to the trajectory of his talks to be able to, like, get a real sense of who he is.
So let me try to respond. Just tell me what doesn't sound real. In particular, or maybe that's not even the way to approach it. You want me to say something, all right?
Okay. You're talking about cell phones infiltrated the World Trade Towers and hate brought them down. Man, I don't even know, dude. I'm just going to go back to...
No, listen to this caller.
Right,
no, you're,
I'll talk to you guys later.
Your objections...
Okay,
let me address what he's saying, and maybe he's listening to it. I would have asked him, where does he think he is while he's on the air talking to us? Does he think he's in his mouth? Does he think he's in my head, in the microphone? The space-time dimensions collapse when we're electrified. So he was inside me, I was inside him, and all the viewers and listeners were inside each other. That's the beginning perception we're working with, son. And then we work from there to retrieve the skin.
And the skin being?
Well, the Greeks, with phonetic alphabet, allowed people to think that they were contained by skin. Okay? Before that, as far as we understand, the primitive mind, the preliterate mind, they did not think that they had outlines in their body. They were gases and liquids and fluids and ancestors and animism. So when writing helped focus the eye and its ability to lime a boundary, that's L-I-M-N, lime and mime a boundary, and then when the printing press accentuated that, and then the electric age canceled the eyeball into invisibility again, because you can't see the space that that guy's voice is resonating in. You can hear it, you can feel it. So that, sir, is what I'm addressing, the percept of our situation. Says here, please, no eating and master control. Well, we're inside each other's digestive system right now, inside the extensions of that. Yeah, just read a little Marshall McLuhan, it's old stuff, or look at Woody Allen's movie Annie Hall. That's the beginning. Go to fivebody.com, get some background. This is more like a postgraduate. It's like I'm the headquarters coming into the branch office that Evan's running here, and she's been spreading my word for a long time, almost a decade, and I'm interested in the people who have been following that. And the others got to just sit and, what is it, interlocutors, just lurk and start at the beginning, which we never leave.
I mean, isn't it, you know, caller, if you're still there or any other folks out there, don't you get tired of people telling you what you already know? Okay,
right.
You already know that there are people out there who meet in secret and you're not allowed in. And you know that they're warmongers. And, you know, and all of this garbage. You know that there are people that money launder, that kill your children, that tear and eat babies, whatever you think, you know, is going on. Well, then when somebody comes in and starts speaking at a level that is outside what you've heard before, the idea is not to get mad, to not to get insulted, to not think the person is out of their mind, because look around you. You have craziness around you, so maybe there's some sensibility to sit there and hogtie all of this mania together. And it has to do with what's in between your head, your mind, right? And so the idea is to let that loose and to be adventurous. Hey, caller two, you are on with Bob. Caller two, welcome to KPFK.
Yeah, hi there. And, you know, Bob, really, I appreciate your grasp of this experience. And I'm going back probably 45 years to my first understanding, or I won't call it understanding, my first recognition of Marshall McLuhan. And the perspective was then I did not understand what the man was saying. I'm come forward here some 45 years, and I can't say that I'm any better off. However, I am recognizing these various frequencies. Go ahead. I'm sorry, you were about to say something?
No, that's good what you're saying. I understand. You remember the Marshall McLuhan spent his life translating the book Finnegan's Wake, which is literally an unreadable book. You've got a 60 languages impaled on each page and punned on and distorted. Where did that come from? Well, James Joyce in 1922 had published what would later be considered and voted as the greatest novel of the 20th century. And he's sitting in his apartment in Paris, and he's living by the motto of silence, exile, and cunning. He doesn't go back to Dublin. He's not going back and being a part of W.B. Yeats' Celtic revival. He's going to be a European. But he turns on his shortwave radio, and there's Dublin music and Dublin voices in his living room. And there's German voices, Scandinavian voices, Italian voices through his shortwave. He said, where the heck am I? I'm back in Dublin. Dublin's here. He had to figure out his relationship to this new, as Teilhard de Chardin said, this new biological event. And so he began to work it out from 1922 to 1939, and the visual painting of that is a book called Finnegan's Wake, which turns out to be the history of media effects. Marshall McLuhan was the only one who understood that and began to translate Finnegan's Wake, not by looking at each page and figuring out what the actual phrases referred to, what languages it came from. He realized that Joyce was talking about the language of forms, of communication, which is what separates us from other parts of first nature, the fact that we can improvise and extend our communication. Animals and insects, they communicate, but they stay limited within their pattern. So Joyce presented this. Marshall McLuhan began translating by saying, okay, speech expedites and stores, or stores and expedites experience.
Okay.
What does writing do? What does the printing press? And so that's how you translate Finnegan's Wake. And then...
Oh, man.
You're getting it.
Oh, I'm just thinking about film and videotape.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and you, there's on page, I think it's page 554, 555, Joyce has one line. It says footage. That's all he writes is footage. Any footage. He didn't bother describing it, just footage. And, you know, well, go ahead.
Yeah, Bob, you will not believe, well, maybe you will believe this, but at one point in my life, I actually talked to some general who was in the Pentagon, and I told him that there was a perspective for... communication that would make teleportation obsolete. Now, he, and I'm serious, we were actually talking on a serious level because this is when projection television first came on the scene.
Right.
At least when people were able to have some idea that it was there. I was actually trying to hawk or sell projection television, and my concept was the idea that, like, we're on the phone now, and rather than me looking at an image that's smaller than life, making a reference to you,
yes.
If I could see you right now in an image smaller than life, that would be one thing. And then if I saw you in an image that was larger than life, that would be another. So what I was talking to this guy about, trying to get him to buy this projection television concept, was life size. That every image that we would interact with through the electronic media would be referenced to life size first. And then we have the perspective of moving to these other dimensional references that relate to larger than or smaller than. And the thing that's getting me now from what you just said is related to this concept of the cell phone.
Yes.
The idea that the cells in our body need the same frequencies that the cell phone, which I'm speaking on right now, the cell phone needs in order to even get you to recognize that I'm here.
Exactly. You got it. You're getting it.
Well, okay, now here's the other side of it, though, is then you recognize that the towers that have to go up in order to create the cells outside the body, that the frequency extends itself within this 1900 to 2000 megahertz.
Yep.
Yeah. That frequency in itself becomes the soup in which we're all kind of interplaying.
That's right.
And that's the reason I love Eben Ray so much. You know, I've never seen Eben Ray. I can tell you right now that my interaction with Eben Ray is on a level that is way beyond where physically we could be once I do meet Eben Ray.
That's right. We call that the TV body.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. That's the body that Eben Ray, are you there?
Yeah. Hey.
Oh, he's in my ear.
He's in your brain. She's in your brain.
Whoa.
She's in your gonads.
Oh man! What a wonderful job!
Wow!
Yeah. Now this is music. This guy is responding.
Yeah.
Previous caller, dig what's happening here.
Yeah.
This is the real jazz.
The thing being is, I haven't been following you, Bob. I have not been following Eben's presentation. It's too late at night, or early in the morning, or whatever.
Right.
And I just happen to be awake now, having some reference to other physical pleasures. But the point being that what we're doing right now is sharing our bodies with the cars and the garage door openers and all these other things that are extensions. And the wheels, I mean, the wheels on a car are nothing more than our legs, man.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
What's your name, caller? What's your name? Or give us anything.
Call me BJ.
Okay, BJ. You know what?
All right.
You know what? Thank you so much for
you.
No, thank you.
Thank me. Okay, thank me.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, thanks, Bob.
No,
thank you, BJ. Thank you for raising the level that I was hoping Zappa did with What's New in Baltimore. You just helped us figure out what's new in the present.
Well,
And on top of that, I'm an Okie.
Okay, good. There you go. Okie. All right.
Connie likes that.
Yeah,
Connie likes
I was thinking about
Oklahoma.
Yeah,
she likes right. Oklahoma. It's the freest medical state going.
I'm a black Seminole Okie.
There you go. That's
Seminole.
It. You know, it's great. I love
But not just that. You're also these frequencies we're in right now. That's the point. You're more than those chemical markers.
Hey, BJ, darling, thank you so much, dear.
All right. Thank
All right.
you.
Have a wonderful day. All right.
Yeah, I'm on the radio.
Thank you.
Yes,
you're
you
on
are.
The radio. You're inside me. I'm inside you.
Great.
And those surveilling us are inside us.
Caller 3, you are on with Bob.
Hello, Mr. Dobbs.
Yes.
Hi. I have a couple of questions, or maybe just one thing to say and a question. Over the years, I've been unfortunate to have a job where I can observe people in the way they've been changing. 5 years is pretty much where we touched on where in 2002 it all pretty much came together, I guess, or fell apart.
What year? 50,002? What'd you say?
No, 2002.
Yes.
2002. I've seen this one where people were focused, interested, carry on an interesting conversation, and all the way down to where, like, they're just zombified and angry and just, you know, despondent to each other. I mean, I do see sparks of, you know, friendliness and helpfulness, but not as much as it was before. Another thing is the question I have is basically I've been fortunate to be around friends and family who are basically waking up from this whole ordeal that we're going through right now. People who are open to new subjects and realities and dimensions, and basically what it really comes down to is the other side. Are there people out there that are against you, not because that, you know, maybe you're alienated from just waking up and you just can't handle media and all that stuff, because
right.
I haven't watched TV for about a year, and it's been really good for me, I think, that I haven't been doing that. I've been spending more time listening to music and reading books, but, you know, the fake solar government, are there people that are taking orders to try to knock down your personality or your self-esteem? And
you mean yours or mine?
All of us,
yeah.
Basically, because, you know, I know there's certain types of people out there that can read your vibes and your energy.
The fake solar government does not define the situation. If I was president now, I would be having these kind of conversations every day. That's how I'd run the White House. I do a talk show, and I discuss and maintain the level of perceptions of our four bodies and how to juggle them. And that requires training and perception. That's what the president should do. They don't tell you anything. They talk in English. They show you images of geographical places like Washington or Iraq, and they don't show you the landscapes we're living in.
Precisely.
But was your question more about perpetrators?
Perpetrators, exactly.
Perpetrators.
These people who, I don't know, I've encountered people where I just feel like unusual vibes. I feel maybe a pain in my left eye usually.
Yeah.
And I can feel the darkness from these people. And, yeah, they'll say things under the breath, or they'll be, you know, about a couple of feet away from me, and they'll say things, and they'll laugh and whatever. Or they'll just blatantly just right out insult you. I mean, not regular people that I normally know. They don't just straight out insult you because they're more afraid of, you know, getting something back, you know, because I usually retort when I can, politely when I can, but I don't really, you know, I don't try to hurt anybody. I go out there trying to, you know, interact with human beings as I would normally do.
So a caller, in a way, you're asking about the presence of people that do street theater, people that, or are you talking about random acts, or do you think that this happens so frequently in your life that you're targeted in some way?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
No, you are targeted by the fact if all media frameworks disappear, you only have yourself to reflect on, and your extension's coming back. And so if you see someone else projecting something at you, that's you projecting back to yourself your own thought. You know, you ever get on LSD or sensitive drugs, psychoactive, you look at something, and whatever you think about it, it comes back to you.
Yeah.
That's where we're at today. I mean, taking psychedelics is kind of a reminder of what the electronic environment does to you. It sensitizes you, but you don't need to stay on it once you get the message. So
the thing is, the only closest thing I've ever done was the green stuff, but
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I've been fortunate and you know mature enough to understand how to you know use it in the right way spiritually.
Right. No, but
the right brain.
But television and the environment we've created the last 50 years is the highest decibels of consciousness produced so far in our human history. We are at incredible spiritual levels of interaction with each other in these media, and that is very hard for traditional mindsets, the memes of older institutions, to reconcile.
But what is the media doing to some of the zombies, some of the pod people that are walking around the collar that are,
They totally just worship every celebrity. It's just...
Right.
Well, that's acknowledging the TV landscape. I don't see them as zombies. They just don't put their chemical body thoughts and patterns in prominence. They are responding to the language around them, and because we're not used to it, we look zombified.
Okay. So are you saying...
So that's maybe why... I've been disconnected from the media, and I probably project something alien to them. Like
That's right. You're not participating.
What's going on. And what they see in me is just, oh, this guy's just totally weird. You know, I don't think I'm weird.
But you're focusing on your chemical body. You're kind of dislodged from the TV landscape, which is inside you and manifested by others. You can't disconnect from it. You can sort of not participate directly by reading books or doing other media or jogging or playing tennis or making love to somebody. That's good, as long as you know that you can't get rid of your TV landscape.
So
and those overusing the TV landscape will notice that you aren't really watching Oprah as much as them.
Well,
one more thing before you probably let me go.
Yeah, real quick.
Is what really I'm trying to get to is how to improve myself astrally, spiritually.
Understand what I'm talking about, because the dimensions have intertwined. The veil of death is disappearing. The curtains is gone. I mean, there's so many good mediums.
I've heard so much about that, too, where the TV will tell you to start getting old or sick at a certain point. And if you disavow all that, you could become, I don't know, like in the Bible, you know, the disciples lived up to be 600 years old.
If you recognize the misinterpretation that the content of our English language is doing to us and our institutional past references points that are limited, then you're seeing through matter. Television sees through the matter that Newton and chemistry defined. We are seeing through, we're X-raying. The more you understand that, the less you need to really do it. And you will then fill it in with, quote, spiritual retrievals.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, and you're doing it anyways.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's going to happen to us.
Caller, darling, we have to run. But one thing just at the end, whatever you are experiencing in the physical with these people, don't take it personally, for one.
Okay.
Let them own it. It's their stuff.
Am I gathering this path? Whatever I'm doing right now, I must be doing it right.
Yes,
right.
We're always right. We're always right. That's what I've learned.
Yes.
Just that, you know, I'm different kind of right than you're right.
All right, darling.
I'll continue my journey. Thank you, guys.
Yes, absolutely.
You've
Thanks
already arrived.
All right. All right, love. Thank you. All right. KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara County. Bob Dobbs is live in the studios, and we are taking your calls. Oh, my God, this first hour is absolutely flying by.
No,
so this
it's
is
only
going
been
to be...
45 minutes so far. We started late.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Well, on the tape, it's showing that we've almost been on 50 minutes already. And so it's just amazing just how quickly things go. But Bob is watching it closely, and I like that. And so we'll be back after this short break, you guys. So stay tuned.
Where the past and the future converge. Go to www.radioalchemy.com. RadioAlchemy.com for streaming audio and more.
And remember, darlings, to be able to get to Radio Alchemy, go to www.kpfk.org. There you'll find all the amazing programs that we have here, all the different perspectives. 70 programmers, 80. I don't know how many programs we have. We have so many. So that means all the different perspectives are out there. Go to the programs, find Something's Happening program guide. Go down the Wednesday night, Thursday morning, bada bing. There's Radio Alchemy. All right, let's get back into us. Caller 4, you are on with Bob. Caller 4.
Yes.
Hi.
Hello. I am so appreciative of the show. I am the compensating reference of the first caller.
Good.
I've been feeling it for a long time, but I'm more of an intuitive person. I don't have the vocabulary and the understandings that you have, but I feel it, and I just appreciate this so much.
Yeah, the television medium is an intuitive medium. Inside the digital, it almost becomes a living entity. So people trying to be intuitive or feeling they're more intuitive than the historical left hemisphere kind of thinking that literacy brought to us are responding to the present. Now, the young kids in the New Age world, they talk about the indigo children. They're different because they have to oscillate back and forth between the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere. How can you have the left hemisphere in a post-liter environment? The digitalization and shrinking of media so that you can talk and intertext with your buddies retrieves a virtual sense of privacy and individuation. So you got a virtual left hemisphere, you got an actual right hemisphere. The constant dialogue between them develops and exercises and grows the corpus callosum between them. There's a new situation, and no culture has ever been non-specialist. We now get kids who are post-specialists. They work in the interval. So you call or have the intuition. I'm recommending Finnegan's Wake to prop up your left hemisphere. But on top of that, look at moving into your corpus callosum. That's how you tune into what's happening to the kids. They're neither here nor there. They're in the gap, and the gap has been extended. You know, they talk about television extending the central nervous system and then the computers extending parts of the central nervous system or calibration abilities. That's the 80s and 90s. But the corpus callosum has not been discussed as being extended. That's what I'm presenting. So, okay. Caller, how do you intuit on that?
I'm going to chew on it.
Yes.
Everything you say, it takes a while to filter in for me. And, I can't just pop back and say, well, here's what I think, because I got to think about it.
That's right. Thinking is verbality, subverbal speaking in English to yourself. We can assume it's English. That is such a minor medium, but it is what we for centuries thought was our core self. You know, what's amazing is the phonetic alphabet created the idea of the soul. It was crystallized by St. Augustine in his book, The City of God, where he was able to reconcile the contradictions in Greek experience or experience, the time of Christ and before. They could not resolve it. They had conceptualization and philosophy, but Augustine realized that the third position, this visual echo caused by the phonetic alphabet, was the new resolution of the contradictions between the eye and the ear and the movement and the tactility. So we have developed that for 2,000 years, this sub-vocalization, literate, self-reflecting void space, focusing on the eye, and it's been transformed. Apparently penetrated by the through force of electricity. That, caller, is the interesting thing. And once you get to see what I mean, you'll be able to say this. This isn't an idea. I'm just describing the weather.
Well, are you saying, okay, if I looked at the Trinity from like the Christian church,
yeah.
I look at that, to simplify it, it's like there's me, there's the other me that I'm constantly arguing with.
Right.
But then there's the Holy Ghost would then be the greater spirit that I am also.
Yes, and the Holy...
It is connected to all those things you've been talking about.
Right. The Holy Ghost for 2,000 years, 2,500 years, was the phonetic alphabet and then the printing press. It's an invisible environment. It's the self thing that we made, the form of communication.
Yes.
Now the Holy Ghost is tactile. It's electric, and it's shrinking, which causes a crisis for the image of the second coming. I think that I said on another show that the endless talk and chatter on our electric media here in North America is greater and more powerful than the second coming as we imaged a literate second coming. So think of that. So think of the Trinity and how it's been x-rayed into the fourfold, into the tetrad, the enhancement, the obsolescence, the retrieval, and the flipping into its opposite. So I agree with you, but think and update your image of the Holy Spirit. It is the environment. The Holy Spirit has always been the thing that brought the two, the Father and the Son or whatever, and the Trinity together. It was in the gap. So actually, the corpus callosum is where the Holy Spirit is in terms of our chemical body imagery, and that's been extended. That's why we have amazing ideas that the map has ended and 2012 is here and we're feeling vibrations and going into a singularity or immanentizing of the eschaton. That's where we're at, caller, and thanks for joining in.
All right. Thank you both so much.
Thank you, dear. Have a great day. All right. You guys are so great. I'm so happy that folks are up. The number here is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. If you're just tuning in, Bob Dobbs is here, McLuhan scholar, media ecologist.
LaRouche scholar, Zappa scholar, Mae Brussels scholar, Christian Murdy scholar, Finney's Way scholar, Dr. Beter scholar, Cosmic Awareness scholar, and Self scholar.
Yeah, and so you can go anywhere and speak on any level. But understand that the replies mostly will be within the scope of the four bodies. And so it might not be the very same straightforward answer, or you're going to just get multiple layers. So just be open, breathe, and eat. Caller 5, you're on with Bob. Caller 5.
Is that me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, great. I'm so glad I tuned in. There's a couple things I'd like to bring up. I think I tripped into going into the that next electrical realm, like almost completely by accident. I found myself in a position for a couple years, like 2002, 2003, 2004, of having my eyes more open than I ever had before, and something that I'd like to bring up that really has thrown me for a loop and put me in that kind of position where people are looking at me funny. Towards the end of 2005 here in Southern California, I started noticing the skies being sprayed like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I was like, what is going on here? And ever since I was a child, I was always a sky watcher. I had a telescope when I was a little boy and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, I just started noticing all these, they call them chemtrails, but I don't know what they are, but they just seem completely unnatural to me. And I've noticed a theme that keeps coming up is that, people are almost like, they get angry with you if you try to wake them up or if you try to open their eyes, before they're ready. And couple that with, the HARP technology and now this CERN, the large collider that they're...
Yeah,
super collider.
I was wondering what your thoughts are on all that and why people are just so blind. I mean, how can... people drive around, millions of people in Los Angeles drive around with, like, crisscrossing, dripping chemicals. it's like we're being sprayed like bugs.
Caller, you know what? We are going to start the second hour of Radio Alchemy with your question. We just hit the end of the first hour. Want to hear what you have to say,
okay.
And that's a great place. So please hang for this transition, okay?
Okay.
Okay, darling, stand by. All right, loves. Bob Dobbs is here. The number is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We just got to make a quick transition here into our second hour. So please, darling, stay tuned. Stay tuned for the second hour of Radio Alchemy on KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.